Greenhouse gas is really the fundamental starting point for most of life. The problem is we're putting too much of it into the air. Well, nature has this really interesting philosophy, and that is that there is something of value in everything. And that's the basic premise of nature. You know, CO2 as an example. As you mentioned, nature eats CO2. It's valuable. Methane's the same thing. Whatever it is, nature will find a way to turn it into something useful. And it turns out that you can feed methane or carbon dioxide to a microorganism, a natural microorganism. It'll eat that as a food source, and part of what it'll make inside of its cell is PHB. So here you have a naturally occurring process versus a synthetic process. The reason why that's so important is because when that synthetic material ends up in nature, nature doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't have the tools and the resources to break it down like a food source, like it would with a banana peel. In contrast, PHB, it does have those tools.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vaidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Mark Herrema, CEO and founder of New Light Technologies, from greenhouse gases to regenerative materials. So he joins us from Los Angeles, California. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Vidya. Good to be here.
Recently, more than ever before, there has been increased awareness of the negative impact of greenhouse gases. What are the most prominent greenhouse gases? There are several, right? Which are the most prominent ones in our atmosphere?
Well, I'd say the two most talked about greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide and methane. And those two gases are the gases that humans are contributing more and more to emitting into the air and are causing the warming that we're seeing globally.
What percent of carbon dioxide is there in the atmosphere right now?
So the atmospheric concentration of carbon dioxide is around 400 parts per million. So that may seem relatively low, but because it's a heat trapping gas, even low amounts of this gas in the air will cause the air to heat up.
Greenhouse gases have existed in our planet forever. Our Earth cannot survive without the greenhouse gases. So what role do they play in our planet's existence?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, if you think about the word itself, greenhouse gas, it's come to have a negative connotation. But if you think about a greenhouse, that's a beautiful thing, right? You're growing these flowers and these fruits, and it's warm. Greenhouse gas is responsible for life on Earth. It keeps us warm. It's the blanket that we have, you know, which would otherwise be a very cold night. And it also is the carbon source that nature uses to grow. So when a tree grows, it's pulling greenhouse gas out of the air and using that as the building block to make everything that you see, the leaves, the bark, everything. Greenhouse gas is really the fundamental starting point for most of life. The problem is we're putting too much of it into the air.
So how does it create a blanket? Could you explain that a little bit more to our listeners who don't think about these things every day like you do?
When we talk about greenhouse gas, what it really means is heat trapping gas. And so if you think of the Earth like a big ball, around the Earth, there's a layer, and that's effectively our air. So as that air fills up with more heat-trapping gas, what happens is as the warmth of the sun hits the Earth, when you have heat-trapping gas, it holds that heat in the air around us and doesn't allow it to escape. So you can kind of think of it like the more blankets you put on, right? You keep getting warmer and warmer and warmer. Well, that blanket's great to a certain degree, but too many blankets and you get too hot. And so that's effectively what's happening. As we're putting in more heat trapping gas into the air, it's effectively heating up the globe.
And you mentioned that right now, carbon dioxide, which is probably the largest component of the greenhouse gases in our atmosphere, it's about 400 parts per million. How much was it, say, a couple of centuries ago?
One of the reference points that people turn to is 350 ppm. And the idea is if we could somehow stop the accumulation of carbon and then reverse it back to 350, there would be some level of normalization. Whether we can achieve that is a different question, but I don't know specifically what it was 2 centuries ago, but I think within a relatively short history, it was only as low as or as close as 350 ppm. And so you can see how important just 50 or 100 ppm of this gas is in the air. It makes a huge difference in terms of the climate.
So we have carbon dioxide, we have methane, we have nitrous oxide and fluorinated gases, which are kind of the largest, the biggest four greenhouse gases that are there. But how their parts per million increases is different, right? So carbon dioxide is because of how we burn our fossil fuel, maybe cement construction. What contributes to, say, the increase in methane or nitrous oxide or fluorinated gases?
Most of it is industrial activity, but in the case of methane, the biggest sources include landfills. So the more trash that we have and the more it goes into these, you know, landfill, you might call them dumps, they effectively ferment and they create carbon dioxide and methane. Some of that methane gets into the air. So that's one big source. Another really big source of methane is just from the production of meat and dairy products. So dairy cows burp about 600 liters of methane per cow per day. It's quite a bit. And so next to landfills, you have just agricultural operations as a very, very large source. I think it used to be around 20% of all methane emissions came from cattle operations, where you get sort of these